Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and this is definitely your favorite digital pub landlord in Cheshire on this wonderful show called Cheshire Matters. Now, tonight is a special night because the Raven...
Here we go.
The Raven...
Cuckoo.
He is in the house tonight. Say hello, Steve.
Good evening, gentlemen. Hello, Cheshire. Hope you're all getting ready for Christmas and looking forward to it.
Yes. And the Gazelle.
Good evening, chaps. Good evening, Cheshire. Good evening, the world.
Chaps, just chaps. What about chapesses?
Well, chapesses, if you can.
And to the fact checker. Although around here, he should be the fat checker.
Yeah.
All right. To Statsman. Hello, Mr. Mark Hartley. How are you doing, sir?
I'm all right, thanks. Just like to say a big hello to all our lovely listeners out there.
Okay.
And a big thanks to Stephen Ingram for me t-shirt.
Oh, yes. That's the other thing I was going to mention. Mr. Ingram came in with some t-shirts tonight, which just says, Trevor Nichols, Gazelle, you can't catch me.
Well.
Really? No.
We'll see about that.
Mark Hartley, Statsman, official fact checker.
Say that one carefully.
And on mine, it says... What does it say?
Favourite digital landlord, in brackets underneath, no survey confirms this.
It's still been no official confirmation, has there?
And on Steve Ingram, he's got Raven, ferocity and wisdom.
There you
well,
go. There
I
you
have go. To say that...
We support the Raven, don't we, Lance?
We do. We love
got no
you,
choices
Steve.
Written on me top.
We're sorry, but the Vikings had a much more ferocious sound than what you're delivering.
We
here.
Support the Raven.
Coco.
Yeah. I'm glad you've all had printed on your t-shirts, I support the Raven.
We had that, but
overwhelmed
we're actually
by the support.
We're going to get that overprinted, you know, like a tattoo that you know, we get it changed. Don't worry.
We're getting it lasered.
Yeah. Anyway, let's do the roundup of what's been going on. This is about the Cops video, or shall we say Cop 26 or Flop 26? Which one?
Crop 26.
Well, it's cost them $36.3 million for the video production. That's what it's cost them
is
for
that. Is that why Greta walked out, was it?
Well, I don't know. Maybe she went out because, I mean, she's in Scotland now, so she had to go out and get herself a cider. Right, and another packet of cigarettes to take her through. Former FIFA officials Sepp Blatter and Michael Platini are charged with fraud. How many of you are surprised?
Nope.
Okay, now a serious one here. A mother died from sepsis after contacting GP surgery several times. Now, that's something that's been coming up regularly about not being able to go and see your GP. The Tate exhibition alleges slavery links in William Hogarth's paintings. Do you know, they'll find anything in anything, won't they?
Yeah, but what do they do in the end? Just put a little sticker on it.
I don't know. Well, maybe a sticker over the slavery links.
3 years to put a little sticker on it.
A female puts Heinz 1.50 Christmas dinner soup to the test. Now, this is Heinz actually taking all the ingredients of a Christmas dinner and putting it in the soup for £1.50.
Gross. Why do people do things this?
I have absolutely no idea.
It saves on cooking time, Christmas
well,
Day.
The other thing is the big story is about Owen Paterson. And firstly, the Tory MPs succeeded in the bid to block his suspension. Then the next minute, he's being investigated. And it turns out that really 250 or was it 249 MPs were hung out to dry because they did a massive U-turn.
Pretty much.
You know, on it within a space of literally a day. But it's not just the Conservative MPs that have problems. I mean, some of the Labour MPs have problems and there's lots more to what's going on there. And I'm not going to go too much into it because we might have it as our national.
They're all at it.
Oh, they're all at it. There's no care. Now, here's one which I found incredible. Somebody had been putting up it's okay to be white posters and plastered them around Basingstoke. And then the police around there launched a hate crime investigation.
I'd get MI5 and SAS and everyone onto that one quick.
Oh, you know, I just can't understand. I just can't understand why they would put those kind of resources to that for a poster. It's okay to be white. But, well, there you go. It's not our decision.
But
Jeffrey...
Sorry to interject here, John, but what about BLM?
Oh, they can put posters anywhere. That's fine.
All right, so it's a different set of rules.
Yeah, they're the rules. Yeah,
yeah, okay, they're the rules.
Totally different set for them.
It's okay. It's okay for them to put posters up. Same with any other minority. It's okay for Insulate Britain to plaster their face to a motorway, and the police come out and they'll give them a cup of tea.
Did you see the one who glued himself to the police car?
Do you know what? You know, if I'd have been a policeman, I'd have said, "I've got to get back to the police station. There's an emergency."
My shift's finished after.
You know, zoom. What are you going to say, Steve? You're going to say something there? You're just laughing away. When all this stuff came up about the sleaze, where was Boris? He didn't turn up. So Boris dodges the Commons sleaze showdown, claiming nothing more to say. Well, I know. Now, last week, if you remember, we did have a top 10 of water companies who basically were discharging sewage. Mm-hmm. Into our rivers. Now, Good Law Project have got involved and they have now actually started to attack United Utilities, because United Utilities, who were one of the biggest offenders because of the top 10, and we went through it the other week, they've tried to block anybody taking legal action against them. And the Good Law Project have now got involved and said they're going to get involved in the case to stop them from trying to block people taking legal action against them. How about that? Rotherham abuse scandal. 1,665 children may have been at risk since 2017. That's terrible.
Still going on, isn't it?
It's still going on. Now, they can find a guy. They can find a guy who did a Mooney at a camera, a terminally ill guy who on his bucket list was literally going to do a Mooney. And six police officers turned up at this guy's place and they got him within such a short amount of time.
Was he the terminally ill guy?
That's the one.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one.
Nice guys.
And you know, I mean, what can you say? It's a bucket list.
What's going on?
But the point I'm making is they can send six police officers around, shove this guy on the floor, put a knee in his back to arrest him, but they couldn't do anything about anything that was to do with any of these scandals that were going on with the kids being abused. Huh? So as far as I'm concerned, there's a guy called Branford who said that there must be a review into child sexual exploitation claims, which is... Go ahead, Steve.
I think there should be a full investigation, John, in relation to Labour councils where this is endemic taking place. These situations appear all over the country, and from what I understand, predominantly in Labour-controlled councils where this is taking place.
But the police should have been able to do something about it. I mean, as
correct.
I just said,
correct.
You know, they can go get this guy for mooning at a camera, you know, so quickly and send six police officers to go and do it. I think it was, I think it was West Mercia Police went to do it. I'm not sure. I'll try and get the facts and work out who it was. Go ahead, Mark.
Ministers have piped up and threatened to, you know, get to the bottom of this for decades now, but they're just cowards and they don't.
Cowards. They won't tackle it because they're worried. And I'll tell you what, they won't even tackle it as it comes towards the election because they don't want to lose votes. It's as simple as that. But they'd actually gain votes if they started coming clean and just said, you know, let's get on with it.
On top of votes, though, they'd actually start protecting vulnerable people.
Well, yeah.
That's the issue.
And the last of the roundup is simply this, that... the researchers running the arm of Pfizer's COVID jabs say the trials were falsified. Now,
shock.
I can't work out why they would do that, but apparently there's somebody on the inside who is actually coming out now and they're saying, no, we didn't get all the full facts before the audience. And when I say the audience, I'm talking about the people that actually took the jabs and the people that they were complaining to about the side effects of the jabs. That also begs the question, because the last of the stories is 60,000 more Brits than usual died at home during the pandemic. Now, these were the people that actually had the jabs. Now, did the jabs sort of heighten their illnesses? Because it was mostly people over 60 who died at home.
So you're telling me around half the people... Okay, there was about 100... I'm not sure the exact figure now, but last I checked, there was 120,000, 130,000 people who were meant to have died of or with or whatever they categorise it. So then you got half again who just died at home.
Well, they died at home. So,
great.
You know, what they're saying is that did the jab actually contribute to the already underlying illnesses that they had and worsen them? And that was the question that was being asked.
Probably the lack of decent healthcare during the lockdown is probably what's...
Well, that's another thing. That's another thing that you can actually, you know, say. Well,
scientists have actually come out and said that our immune systems were weakened the very times we needed them the most.
Ah, right, okay.
Well, that's great, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a common one. By being locked up, weakens your immune system anyway. So we've got problems with all these injections, people just passing away after they've had the injections. And now the government's come forward and they've said that all staff who work in care... Have got to
be jabbed.
The jabs. No, hang on. That could be detrimental to their health.
Yes, it could be. But you know, the other questions that have to be asked is, the people that are not really inclined to take the jabs, their immune systems might already be sufficiently capable of dealing with COVID.
And it's all about the immune system.
Yeah.
If you keep yourself with lots of vitamin D, eat healthily, and look after yourself, you'll automatically get yourself a good immune system, and that's what it's all about.
Go ahead, Steve, and then I'm going to move on to the national. Hello.
What?
You heard.
I get the point you're making, but there's a very serious issue here. Does anybody who works in care or the NHS, are they mandated without choice to have a flu vaccine?
Well, I thought that the last thing that you have control over as a citizen is your body.
Seemingly not.
Well, that's the thing now. Now, where does it end? Because I'm not an anti-vaxxer.
No, none of us are.
I'm not an anti-vaxxer.
It's about choice.
It's just very strange with the left are all there championing it's your body, your choice, when it's things like abortion and nowhere to be seen now, though, are they?
No, not really.
Nowhere.
It causes a bit of a problem. Well, let's move on. We've done the roundup. We've had a little bit of a discussion over certain things. Let's talk about the main story of the night, although the Gazelle will say his story is the main story, and then the Raven will say his story is the main story.
Mine's the best. Mine's the best.
Yeah. Okay, well,
here we go.
I'm just going to sum this up so that we can have a discussion on it. Tories turn on Boris, right? Senior MPs are questioning the Prime Minister's judgment over Owen Paterson's shambles, and the Chief Whip is under pressure to quit as it emerges the watchdog that the PM tried to force out is set to probe him, the PM, over wallpaper gate. Now,
is that still going on?
That's still going on. Now, she was actually investigating him. Now, I'm not sure. He's trying to disconnect everything and say there's no connection to the fact that she was investigating him over wallpaper gate. You know, when he had, number 10 redecorated and stuff like that. Well, Mr. Paterson, he actually resigned. Okay, and he did the thing, but he didn't resign with any remorse at all. He was still unremorseful. He said he would do everything that he was doing again with no problem. Now, everybody was like thinking, oh, damn. Now, when they forced all the MPs to go into Parliament and to actually try to stop the suspension of Owen Paterson, basically Boris hung 249 MPs out to dry, because within the same breath, he U-turned because he knew that there was something wrong. Now, I'm not so certain that Boris is going to last that long, because I've got a funny feeling that his backbenchers are going to turn on him and they're going to start thinking very carefully about whether or not they actually want to continue with him, because all the stuff that's going on is bad. Just let me explain. Owen Paterson accepted a second job with two firms, of which he was being paid quite a huge amount of money. And he was accused of breaking the lobbying rules where he's had a second job. And that's the reason why all this fuss came out. If it hadn't have been for this, we wouldn't have found out all the other things that are going on with all the other MPs. There's about 30 of them who are actually earning quite huge amounts of money. Now, remember now, the MP's wage of 81,000, and I shall give way shortly, sir. The MP's wage of 81,000.
Should be 31.
It should be 31. Of 81,000 puts them within the top 3% of earners in the United Kingdom. And don't forget, they also get generous expenses and allowances as well. Go ahead, Steve.
Yes, thank you very much, Jonathan. That appears to have been the longest short roundup ever.
I chucked a couple of extra stories in there. So.
I think, to be honest with you, the public with politics per se are fed up of hearing all this, these situations in British politics. And I actually think they're becoming numb to it. The British people actually want to see issues resolved. They want their standard of living increased. They want a better standard of living and they want to be able to live. And we're seeing the cost of living rising in many ways. Council tax, we've been talking about, utilities, lots of other things, and water and things like that. But, you know, we're seeing wages rise and opportunities increase and lots of different things. But I'm not sure to what extent the British public are now taking this in. I think they're becoming numb to this because it's so endemic and part of the culture of politics. It needs to be stopped and it needs to be, you know, British politics, that is, setting a better example. All of them.
Well, the watchdog is Catherine Stone. And basically, the links are very clear. She was investigating Boris. She was investigating Owen Paterson. And there was some sympathy over Owen Paterson because of the death of his wife. And there was possibly some mitigation there. And it was an emotive subject at the time. But I think the other thing that actually stretched it a little bit was that the PM hinted that there may be a chance that the guy could actually get elevated to the House of Lords, meaning Owen Paterson. And that's what sort of started to spark everybody off to say, hmm. And there was no repentance from Owen Paterson. There was so many, many claims of different things that were going on that were festering underneath. So, you know, how could Boris Johnson and 249 other MPs have backed him with all this stuff going on? Go ahead, Trevor. I'll give way.
There is two MPs on the on a radio programme today. And the DJ, whatever he called him these days, the interviewer, said to him, could you just give me...
Excuse me, I'm not a DJ.
And he said...
Have they got second jobs as DJs?
Yeah, he said, run me through your week. And she said, all right, well, we work in Parliament, as you know, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We go on to our constituencies and we work on the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And the male MP, I don't know who they were because I was just listening as I was driving around. And the male MP was saying, yeah, well, it's exactly the same. He said, I've actually got COVID at the moment, but I was still answering my emails last night at 12 o'clock. So they're trying to give over that they're working a seven-day week.
Yeah, well, Geoffrey Cox, who was in the British Virgin Islands, he said that, you know, he was regularly working a 90-hour week.
Well, I was just going to say to you then, the next comment I was coming out with is Geoffrey Cox. He's earned £900,000, £1 million on top of his MP's wage. How? If he's working 7 days, what they say they're working, how can he fit in £1 million worth extra work?
Well, did you know that Guido Fawkes exposed a job advert from Geoffrey Cox's office advertising for a senior advisor to be able to deal with, at £39,000, to be able to deal with constituents' issues?
Ah, so you elect an MP and then you get an advisor dealing with it.
Well, now, it's not uncommon for ministers to actually have somebody in their office who's dealing with the constituents' issues, but that's not who you voted for.
Well, now do they share the same views as the person you voted for? That's the issue.
Well, that's what you got to start to ask yourself. And this is quite a regular thing throughout with all the MPs.
So basically, he's subcontracting.
Correct. Now, he's saying he's not.
Well, he will, won't he?
You know, and a lot of them will say, no, I've got my finger on the pulse of everything that's going on. But you will find someone in every office of most MPs who is actually taking the workload of the MPs.
I mean, that probably happens through industry. But the point is, how can he possibly earn an extra £1 million on top of his wages if he's working 7 days a week, as they say they do?
Must be on double time at the weekend, Trevor.
He has to be, doesn't it? So he's obviously doing most of his work on a Saturday and a Sunday. He's getting time and half in double time.
Got to be.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mark.
So what form of punishment are they giving out to?
There's no punishment. Nothing. What's going to happen is they're going to... By the way, that the amendment that was put forward was by Andrea Leadsom. It was the Leadsom Amendment. And that's what all the 249 MPs were voting for. Now, you'll notice, and I'll give way momentarily, you'll notice that when it came to the debate about it, there were hardly any Tory MPs there.
They're never there.
Nobody wanted to be associated with it or to be questioned. They had Barclay up at the dispatch box, basically taking the can for what was going on. And Chris Bryant was actually quite sorry for him. I'll give way, Mark. Go ahead.
So again, there's no accountability, is there?
No.
So
and he's basically saying that. He's saying that, you know, that there's not going to be anything come of it.
It's a common theme, though, isn't it? So now we've got MPs who break the rules, take millions, and they just resign, yeah? I'm not being funny, but we've had 5 Tory MPs breach the code of conduct over an attempt to influence a former colleague's legal proceedings. A colleague who was convicted of sex offences, by the way.
Yeah.
You've got all that unlawful handling of the COVID contracts. You've got sham COVID laws, which judges are ignoring. You've got a government who cannot stop illegal immigration. We have a convicted MP who threatened to throw acid in the face of a woman and send their children.
You're talking about the Labour Labour MP.
Yeah, she's still
Claudia,
on the scene.
Claudia Webb, This is really
bad now. And as we had mentioned earlier in the roundup, there's still massive cases of children being targeted for their race and religion.
Yeah.
And being groomed, raped and trafficked across the country. Now, I'd call politicians useless, but... it's all right when they want stuff doing, isn't it? Like coercing the public.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Forcing
mandates on them. That can happen easy enough.
No, I'm absolutely...
It's funny, isn't it? They can do stuff when they actually need to.
I'm absolutely sick and tired of the talk. That's why sometimes it's better if you do have a dictator, because you can just walk in and he'll just say, that ends.
Feels like we've got one.
I mean, it's a dictator by any other type of, you know, approach, because they're actually getting their own way, but making you think that you're the person that's actually voting for them.
Again, this comes back to what we've said for a long time, traditional values, morals, values and ethics. And until we as a nation get back to that, a lot of things are not going to get sorted.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
I agree with Steve. I think politics is a disgrace at the moment. I mean, we used to lead the globe on this. People used to copy our political system, didn't they? Across the world.
Well, they do now in Ugandia.
Ugandia.
I was thinking of another one as a saint. Uganda, Brazil, what is it?
Everybody.
Argentina, they all follow our rules, don't they?
God, you wouldn't want to follow them anymore. I'll be honest, the state of it all now, it's tragic. It really
is. It really is.
There's
an absolute...
no accountability.
Absolute travesty.
It is. I heard a quote the other day, it's back to John Major's...
And Blair.
Blair.
And it is.
Quite simply, and also without any real firm leadership, because nobody is going to say here that Boris is a strong leader. Nobody. If you say it, Steve, I'm not kidding you. You're out.
No, I'm not going to say that. What I'm going to say is...
You're out. We're going to rip up your card for you.
No, what I'm going to say is there is an opportunity... I've said this a few weeks ago. There is an opportunity to demonstrate real leadership and actually start to put things right in the political system to be able to then put things right in the country properly. We're making a lot of headway with a lot of things in this country, but there are problems which are not setting a good example, which need to be sorted.
I just feel sorry for all the conservative associations that have to just suck it up, you know, and they just have to actually sit back and go,
it'll be gone soon.
Yeah, it'll be gone.
The thing is, we keep doing this, and we've been reporting on this for over a year now.
Yeah.
It's still there, and the backbenchers are still moaning, but nothing ever gets done.
Yeah, well.
Why?
Because...
Why is he untouchable? Why is he still there?
Well, I'll give you a few points on that, Mark. And the reason is, there's no real opposition. They're not really... The opposition are not setting any better an example. And the opposition really... don't come across as, you know, let's face it, patriotic. The political system now in this country is rather straightforward. You either vote for a party that represents our traditional values, our country, our monarchy, our patriotism, which is the Conservatives, or you vote for a party, Labour, which is pretty much anti-monarchy. It's hard left-wing. It's anti-British. They don't really support the services in this country and many other things. It's a very simple divide politically.
Well, I can't wait for Rishi Sunak to take over the Labour Party.
Yeah, and Claire Fox to take over the Conservatives.
Yeah, that'll do. That'll do.
That'll do it.
Well, let's wrap that one up, and we're going to bring in the Gazelle now, and the Gazelle is going to lead on this one. And, sir, we are going to be talking about Warrington once again.
Warrington, yet
Your
again.
Your favourite subject.
Here we go again. That's the title. That's my headline. Here we go again. At the risk of getting boring, I'm covering Warrington's Labour Council's gambles. Investments, as the great non-leader, Councillor Russ Bowden, calls them. I'll start with the Hook Group. It was reported in August this year, which we had on a former podcast of ours, that the Warrington Labour Council have loaned one of the biggest council loans ever to the said Hook Group, a total of £202 million. There is now a story in the Guardian newspaper. I mean, bear in mind, that was in August. There's a story in the Guardian newspaper dated the 2nd of November that shares in the Hook Group have plunged to record lows as BlackRock halves stake. It emerged that BlackRock was halving its stake in the online retailer after a rocky month for the company. The shares originally soared to nearly 800p at the start of the year, but have slumped in recent months because of concerns about the firm's governance, after it flagged last week that profit margins would be squeezed by currency changes.
Oh, currency changes. That's a good one.
That's nobody would ever expect that, would
they? No.
So they've been picked on for bad governance. Nothing like our Labour Party that continually say that they do all their own studies, etc.
Of course, because they've got experts.
They've got experts. External experts. Next, we have our ongoing favourite, Together Energy. The latest update. Energy regulator Ofgem has ordered the Warrington-based 50% council-owned Together Energy to repay nearly £12.5 million in unpaid renewables obligations or face the prospect of having its licence revoked. The famous Warrington Borough Council spokesperson, who has changed from the very long-standing spokesman...
To spokesperson.
To spokesperson, and that is a very, very recent change because it's always been the spokesman for as long as I can remember, said the council... as a shareholder of Together Energy, has been reassured that the board of Together Energy is satisfied that the company is financially stable and solvent.
Well, if it's financially stable and solvent, why doesn't it just pay Ofgem the £12.5 million?
That's a good point that I'm coming to in a minute.
I'm sorry.
Now,
Gazelle.
Who is on the... But this is
you should
one
have been
of my,
quicker.
This
you,
is one of my... I caught two.
Your T-shirt says... You can't catch me.
No, I caught two wildebeest on the way here.
Trevor, you're called the Gazelle because you can allegedly run fast. Can you run faster than the growth of Warrington's debt?
No. No, I have to admit that.
Even Usain Bolt couldn't do that.
No.
It's because not even as fast as gigabit broadband at Virgin Promises.
Nowhere near as fast.
Tell you.
So we've got the company, by the famous spokesperson, is financially stable and solvent. Who is on that board? Oh, yes, that's right. The chief executive of Warrington Borough Council, Stephen Broomhead. It goes on. However, like all energy suppliers, given the challenging current market conditions, Together Energy is having to make difficult decisions. And the decision to delay this payment is one of them.
Yeah, but if they don't pay it, Ofgem will take the licence off them.
Yeah, we are.
And that'll be the excuse that they need to say, well, we're just going to have to fold.
Yeah, just like COVID and everything else. We are satisfied that not currently making this payment is in the best interest of the company at this time. Well, as you've just pointed out, Jonathan, you can draw your own conclusions on that comment. Now, the
that is
bit,
a kamikaze operation in, a,
they're all
in action.
They're all kamikazes in action. Together Energy was one of seven suppliers ordered to pay 17.9 million in unpaid renewable obligation payments. So Together Energy is 12.5 million. That's a massive chunk of that figure. Leaving 5.4 million between the other six companies. That doesn't look good, does it?
Sorry, can we just have a laugh at that?
Well, do you know what? I'd be frightened to death if I was living in Warrington with the level of debt over there, Trevor.
Well, Steve, that's it. I mean, it just doesn't look good. So a quick sum up of what we barely have knowledge about. Don't forget, there must be much more of this behind the closed doors. We have the Hutt Group plummeting shares after concerns about the firm's governance. We have Together Energy ranked 35th out of 35 companies by The Witch magazine. We have Redwood Bank fiasco that won't allow the accounts for 2018-19 to be signed off. What a shambles. Resign, Mr. Bowden.
Yeah, they've got to.
Let's have a government investigation into Warrington.
It's just, it's untenable.
Can we have a different government investigating them?
Yeah,
we
need Catherine Stone investigating. That's who we need.
Well, we need a
somebody that
government.
Won't back down
what about,
on
what about
certain
Bergerac?
Things. Oh yeah, let's get Bergerac in.
We need somebody.
No, we need da-da-no, da-da-no. We need him.
Who was that, Morse?
No, that wasn't Morse.
Touch of frost.
Wasn't a touch of frost. A touch of frost bite around here.
Yeah, we really need an investigation into what's going on at Warrington.
Fair
we
enough.
We really need it. And some of the bad news that was released today as well.
More?
Yeah. I mean, this is about, it's the last green space in Warrington North, which is called Peel Hall Park. They've been fighting this for nearly 30 years. And Satnam, who keep changing the name, it's now called Satnam. It was Peel Hall Ports.
Satnav.
Satnav, they own it now. It's just been announced that the building, Gove, has just passed it in the last 2 days. After 30 years campaigning to save the last bit of Greenbelt in Warrington North, that they're now building 1,300 houses on Peel Hall Park.
Okay.
Good grief.
Which is absolutely going to cause chaos.
Well, I tell you, the only thing that I thought Gove was passing was...
Wind.
Oh. You can't say that.
I can't. He was passing...
He's found a new button.
I think we're going to need that more often going forward.
Yeah, because this government is... And here your here. Support for them is...
Oh, fabulous. Don't hold back.
Here they are. Here they are.
Anyway, let's move on. We're going to go tell. This isn't just wokery. This is M&S wokery. And this is with
The Raven. Go ahead, The Raven.
Well, I've got a big spanner in the works.
Ferocity and wisdom.
I wish you wouldn't do that voice.
Right. Go ahead, tell us some ferocity and wisdom.
Yeah, okay. You've now got the floor. We're not going to do anything. We're not going to say anything. We're not going to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No.
So he says, he just keeps going. Have you noticed? Right. I've decided, obviously, we're not into cancel culture, but I've decided we're actually going to cancel woke this week because I'm sick of it. So there is no woke. It's been cancelled. It's a victim of its own ethos. And I'm simply going to talk about something else instead, which is a little bit of a follow-on of a local last week regarding, you know, Mr. Matheson.
What, you're not going to talk about M&S?
No, I've just I've cancelled it.
You've cancelled them?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they were going to give staff pronoun badges.
We've cancelled
so
it.
So that customers know how to address
them. We've cancelled it.
So what's your pronoun then?
Is your pronoun Rav?
Is it what?
Rav.
I don't know where.
Rav, Gaz, Stat.
Right, you're listening.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
I'm going to follow on. I was talking the other week about Chris Matheson attempting to be, in my view, patriotic for standing up for the city of Chester's heritage, i.e. the city walls. I found that absolutely bewildering, you know, as I said the other week, given the fact he wanted to sell this country down the river with his pro-European federalist dream, which was binned in 2016. But since then, we've now seen Sir Keir Starmer, Knight of the Realm, leader of the ordinary people of the Labour Party.
Sir Keir Starmer! Starmer!
Stop. Come out and say he wants to make Brexit work. This is the same guy. This is how bewildering these people are. This is the same guy who made, allegedly, up to 48 attempts to stop Brexit. They now want to appear patriotic, defending the heritage of our cities and our country, and now they want to appear as Brexiteers when they attempted every move going to stop it. The Labour Party are a wolf in sheep's clothing, and they are not to be trusted at all. Hypocrites.
Don't you feel sorry for Mr. Starmer?
No.
I'll put that off then.
Not one bit.
Hold on a second, say that again, because I had you muted.
I said, he's falling into the bracket as well, of earning a lot of money on the outside.
Well, it was £25,000 or thereabouts.
Oh, yeah. Well, they need it. They need it.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, they've got a lot of expenses.
Of course you have. Subcontractors.
Well, okay, so you didn't want to do the M&S wokery one. You've cancelled woke.
Woke has been cancelled. It's a victim of its own ridiculous success. It's been cancelled by itself.
Okay, all right, well, we get it. All right, well, we're going to go on to public figure of the week, and this is with Statsman, the official fat checker. Is he fat?
Yep.
Okay, that's it. The Raven is fat. It's official. It just
didn't
said it.
Didn't take me long to check that one.
No. Oh,
excuse me, I think I'm in fine shape, to be quite frank.
Of course, yeah, but your wife didn't say that. Okay, let's move on.
It's fine a shape.
Fine a shape. No, it isn't.
If it is, it's a big one.
The 360. This guy's going global.
Literally.
Yeah, with his waist. Go ahead, Stats.
Very good, very good.
Okay, this is more like public figures of the week.
Okay.
And this week it's the Royal Marines. Oh, yes.
Okay.
The Royal Marine Commandos were said to have dominated their American counterparts in a training exercise.
Yes, I read this, Mark. Fabulous.
They reportedly brought about a surrender just days into exercise, Green Dagger in Southern California, with American combatants were said to have asked for the exercise to be reset halfway through.
Oh.
But the US Marines say winners are never determined and there is no way to surrender, keep score or reset. Yeah, they lost.
Oh, is that like you can't win anymore when you're at school?
Yeah.
And you're running races.
That's the one.
Start again.
until you do get it right and you do win.
Yeah. Does that work in real war?
No, because the Chinese have, by numbers, have got the biggest fleet now. Fleet of ships.
Well, if you're in a war, if in doubt and you can't win, just run away and leave all your stuff there.
Well, like Boris did.
And Biden.
Okay. Yeah.
I remember when we used to be good at wars. Not very good at them anymore.
I mean, whatever happened?
Well, we're still
where
good.
Where are our Francis Drakes?
We're still all right.
Where are our Nelsons?
We've only got 11 soldiers left.
Get and building and the Viking ships.
And they're part-time. They're part-time. Because they've got other jobs.
Yeah. Get driving trucks and
get building the Viking ships, lads.
Apparently, I mean, I can't find this in the report, but there was meant to have been 1,000 Americans on the defensive side of this game. They were beaten by 100 Royal Marines.
Of the Brits. No. Okay, so let's not knock them too much because we might need them.
We might do, yeah.
We might need them.
Oh, we might need the Marines. I'm not going to call the American ones pointless. Yeah, we'll probably take them on ourselves.
Okay, well, we all know what time it is now. Somebody was starting to ring the bell and then they stopped.
Short bells?
It was. Okay, so we go out to our shout-outs and shout-downs, and I'm going to go straight away and I'm going to shout down the whole situation of Parliament at the moment, because I'm absolutely sick of them.
Idiot.
I'm sick of all the sleaze and all the rest of the things that are going on at the moment, and I'm just going to leave it at that, and I'm going to move on. Who wants to take the next one? It's going to go with the Gazelle. Go on, Gazelle.
Yeah,
you can't catch me.
I'm going to give a shout-out to the 16 cave rescue teams that came from England, Wales and Scotland, coming together to perform the longest cave rescue ever in Wales. Well done to all the 300 volunteers. Excellent job. Excellent.
Well, you'd never go caving, would you, Steve?
I have been potholing.
Oh, you wouldn't do it.
I have.
You wouldn't do it
years
now.
Ago.
Yeah, but that was only filling them in.
Well, listen, we had our official fat checker. And he's told us.
I get stuck now.
I've seen him. He filled about 27 in Blaken potholes.
Go ahead. All right, we'll stop now. Go on.
Oh, is it me? Right, okay. I don't know where you are this week. I don't think you know what you're
doing.
Is it me? Wait a minute. What are you drinking there? What's that?
I can't tell you. It is one of my five a day.
It looks rather peculiar.
It's grape.
Grape. I thought it was grape. Yeah.
Right. Well, you're taking up the healthy advice then.
Yeah,
sort
of. You stand on it first. Yeah, squash it. Nice.
Squash it. And
really,
then
really healthy.
Mine is a shout down. Mine is a shout down, and it's to Parking Eye, the car park operator for Home Bargains in Tyneside. There was a young lady, Katie Sims, 31 years old, who got a ticket for going over time, which she wasn't aware of, and she was over time because she was breastfeeding a young child. And I think this is awful. This young mother was simply taking care of a child's needs and got a ticket. And the Parking Eye customer services operators said, well, there's no evidence. So she said, well, what evidence am I supposed to provide?
Well, the baby wasn't crying, was it? So it must have been satisfied. So there's your evidence.
So I actually think this is appalling. This is a young woman taking care of her child's needs and gets a parking ticket and they don't want to know.
I'll have to play devil's advocate. She did overstay her welcome by about 45 minutes while she went for a walk.
She was holding the baby.
Yeah.
And where was it, Steve? What's the address exactly?
We'll give her that one.
Yeah, we're on the side of the lady. We're on the side of the lady.
I think that's atrocious.
Get
to be
back
honest.
To your car within 45.
Pity. Yeah. What did it tell you? Was a child was 17. Pity.
Might have been. Well, this is it. We've come to the end of the show. There's nothing else unless you've got something to say.
I wouldn't mind having a shout down.
Okay, go ahead.
In fact, because you nearly forgot me, I'm going to do two. Okay, the first one is to all the tyrants who are about to mandate a vaccine to the NHS staff. I mean, I've seen care workers in tears who've been sacked for what should be a choice, but now that, and they can't feed the families. But now they're due to sack lots more in March.
How are they going to fill in?
All for our health, apparently, John. So, you know, and then another shout down is going to be to that. Is it the M&S Arena? The Echo, whatever. Yeah, well, I was told there was no hot dogs, so I bought a not very nice burger instead and then sat down. And the woman next to me went and bought two hot dogs at the interval.
How did that happen?
Shocking. I don't really know. They wouldn't accept me cash.
Oh.
There was merchandise advertised for sale, and when we went to buy some, they didn't have a clue what I was talking about.
What, cash?
No, the merchandise.
I thought they didn't know what cash was.
So, although the show was great, the customer service in there is appalling, to be honest.
What show did you go to see, Mark?
I went to see the wrestling. I took my son to see the wrestling.
Wrestling? You're a fan of wrestling?
I took my son to see
You like two
the
men in shorts rolling around the place?
No, but my nine-year-old son We enjoyed the show. That was great, but service there is shocking. So I think I'll eat before I go next time. I won't bother buying any merchandise.
Yeah, don't buy anything. No,
that's if I even go.
Yeah, don't buy anything.
Just put it off, you know. Took the shine off. A good night.
Okay, well, has everybody got their quotes or positives in line? Okay, Steve, you're gagging to go. Go ahead.
Okay, mine is a quote by
George
Carlin. I haven't got my glasses on. Wait a minute.
Is he the one who makes the lager?
Yeah. No.
I know, I did a quote from him last week.
Yeah, the quote is by George Carlin. which is, I like people who buck the system, individualists, who often warn people, somewhere along the way, someone is going to tell you there is no I in team. That should tell you, what you should tell them is this, maybe not, but there is an I in independence, individuality and integrity, and of course, in Ingram.
Oh, I had to get that one in. Go ahead, Gazelle.
Hey, I know a man who gave up smoking, drinking, sex and rich food. He was healthy right up to the day he killed himself.
Go ahead, Stats.
I don't think I can beat that one, but this is my quote. I choked on a carrot this afternoon, and all I could think of was a better donut wouldn't have done this to me.
Very good. Hey, why is a carrot more orange than an orange? And is Disneyland a trap laid by a mouse for a man? Anyway, I'm going to stay this till I get that
Disneyland.
Out.
All right. Just little things there. Quote, I think.
All right. Thank God that's all over. Well, yep. I have to say, gentlemen, that's it. The show is over. Thank God for that.
Good evening.
You're all looking good, lads, in the T-shirt. Oh, no, so I'm overwhelmed by the support. Thank you very much indeed.
Everyone in the T-shirt says, I support the Raven.
I can't believe you ran out to the shop and organised this as a surprise for me.
Fabulous. I support the Raven on every T-shirt, you know. What are we going to do? Are we going to get somebody put it on the back?
Most definitely.
That says, no, I don't.
I support the Raven's sex change.
Yes, we need diversity. We need diversity. Okay, well, that's it.
I don't want to be there when it happens.
Okay, say goodbye, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, the Raven. Goodbye.